Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review dated Thursday, June 11th, 2026. We'll start with a photo essay on the front page headlined, Macon County Conservation District, Getting Legs Up on Conservation. This essay consists of two full-color photos attributed to Joseph Ressler Photos, Herald and Review. Earth Adventures campers learn about arthropods. The first photo shows two young girls looking at a giant millipede in a room that has lots of chairs open and other children milling around. And it's captioned, Madison Stahl, 8, and Maisie Sanderlin, 7, tried touching a giant millipede during the Macon County Conservation District's Earth Adventures Summer Camp at Rock Springs Nature Center in Decatur on Wednesday, June 10th. This week's campers are tackling pollinators, predators, and pests, learning about insects and their roles in our ecosystem. The final photo is a close-up of the millipede and is captioned, A giant millipede visits the Macon County Conservation District's Earth Adventures Summer Camp in the hands of program specialist and summer camp director Brock Rowland in Decatur on Wednesday, June 10th. Decatur Habitat for Humanity. Habitat closes after 39 years. Announcement follows pause in November. By Scott Perry, Decatur. Decatur Area Habitat for Humanity has announced its permanent closure after 39 years of service to the community. The decision, announced in a news release Tuesday, comes after careful consideration and in partnership with Habitat for Humanity International. The organization paused operations in November to reassess its long-term viability. Following a thorough review and collaboration with Habitat for Humanity International, it was determined that closing the affiliate is the most responsible path forward, the release said. The board of directors is incredibly proud of the impact this organization has made in the community over the past 39 years, the news release said. We are deeply grateful to the dedicated staff, volunteers, donors, and partners who made this work possible. The first Decatur Area Habitat for Humanity house project started in 1987 and was spearheaded by John Henry Kane, former pastor of Crestview Christian Church. The MacArthur Tyus family moved into the renovated house at 1076 West Main Street in the fall of 1988. During the decades that followed, the organization has helped construct numerous homes, providing safe and affordable housing for local families, and leaving a lasting impact throughout the Decatur area. Habitat for Humanity's mission is to provide a hand up, not a handout. Applicants must demonstrate a need for safe, affordable housing, meet income guidelines, and be willing to partner with Habitat throughout the process. That includes completing homeowner education classes and contributing sweat equity by helping build their own home or others in the program. Habitat for Humanity's mission continues across Illinois through a strong network of local organizations. A partner Habitat affiliate will assume responsibility for supporting existing homeowners in the Decatur area, ensuring that current homeowners will continue to receive services without interruption, the release said. Plans also are underway to ensure that homes currently under construction are completed through this continued collaboration. As part of the transition, the organization's commercial property, including the ReStore and associated buildings, will be offered for sale through an upcoming in-person auction, with additional details to be announced. Items within the facility will be made available through a separate virtual auction. Decatur Public Schools. District names treasurer, assistant chief, by Valerie Wells, Decatur. Incoming Chief Operational Officer Thomas Osborne was named treasurer for the Decatur Public Schools, Macon Pyatt Special Education District Funds, Student Activity Funds, and Fiduciary Funds, effective July 1st. Osborne succeeds Mike Curry, who is leaving the district for a similar position in Peoria Public Schools at the end of the month. The school board typically appoints the chief operational officer as treasurer. In other business, during its Tuesday meeting, the board approved the hiring of Nicole Corey Malson as assistant superintendent of teaching learning. She succeeds Larry Gray, who is moving to a position as superintendent of Quincy Schools, also at the end of the month. "I'm honored to begin my 28th year in education," Malson said after the vote confirming her. "I spent most of my career serving Peoria Public Schools." She has worked as an administrator for primary schools, the executive director of a middle and high school level charter school, as a coach to principals and school leaders, head of curriculum and instruction, she said. "I'm excited to be part of the next phase of Excellence Indicator as we build toward Roadmap 2030, she said. "I look forward to building on the great work already being done here." Jessica Meyer, a third grade teacher at Muffley School, was named assistant principal of Eisenhower High School. While she said she's looking forward to her new position, she will miss her colleagues and students at Muffley. "Leaving Muffley is hard," she said. "It has shaped me personally and professionally, and I'll always be grateful. As we say at Muffley, once a Mustang, always a Mustang, and those relationships will stay with me." During board discussion, Vice President Will Wetzel asked Superintendent Rochelle Clark how contract negotiations were going with Champions, the before and after school program that will most likely be using Decatur school buildings to offer care to district families. "Champions will not be paid by the district. Families will have to pay tuition for their children to attend. The only thing the district is providing is the building space." Clark said the district had sent the most recent paperwork to Champions with proposed changes, and she expects to hear back from them by the end of this week. Economy. Inflation posts largest jump in 3 years, by Lucia Mutakani, Reuters, Washington. U.S. consumer inflation increased at its fastest pace in 3 years in May, boosted by surging prices for energy products amid the Middle East conflict, and giving more ammunition for the Federal Reserve to keep interest rates unchanged into 2027. The third straight month of strong increases in the Consumer Price Index, reported by the Labor Department on Wednesday, underscored the mounting pressure on households who are increasingly tapping their savings to cover spending. Inflation outpaced wage growth for a second consecutive month, which could weigh on overall economic growth. The soaring cost of living is a political liability for President Donald Trump and his Republican Party, seeking to retain control of Congress in the midterm elections in November. Trump won the 2024 presidential election in large part because of his promise to lower inflation, but watched his approval rating tumble as frustration mounts over his handling of the economy. "Americans are getting squeezed financially by inflation," said Heather Long, chief economist at Navy Federal Credit Union. "It's not just bad vibes about the economy now. There are real financial pressures, especially on middle-class and lower-income households." The Consumer Price Index increased 4.2% in the 12 months through May, the largest gain since April 2023, the Labor Department's Bureau of Labor Statistics said. The CPI advanced 3.8% year-on-year in April. Prices increased 0.5% over the month after climbing 0.6% in April. The rise in inflation was in line with economists' expectations. The U.S. Central Bank tracks the personal consumption expenditures price indices for its 2% inflation target. All inflation measures are running well above the Fed's target. A 3.9% jump in the prices of energy goods accounted for more than 60% of the rise in the monthly CPI. Energy prices rose 3.8% in April. They vaulted 23.5% in the 12 months through May. Gasoline prices accelerated 7.0% over the month and were up 40.5% from a year ago. Prices at the pump retreated in recent weeks as oil prices eased, raising cautious optimism among economists that May could be the peak in CPI inflation. But the U.S. and Iran traded strikes Tuesday, with President Donald Trump saying Wednesday Tehran took too long to negotiate a deal and would now have to pay the price. Iran has said it would reassess diplomatic engagement with Washington. Inflation last month was also lifted by higher rents. While food price growth slowed after accelerating in April, risks remain to the upside as the war, now in its fourth month, has raised the cost of fertilizers. Grocery prices edged up 0.1%, with increases in the prices of non-alcoholic beverages, cereals, and bakery products, as well as fruits and vegetables, partially offset by decreases in the cost of meat and dairy products. Rents elevated. Excluding the volatile food and energy components, the CPI increased 2.9% year-on-year in May, after rising 2.8% in April. The so-called core CPI gained 0.2% on a monthly basis, after rising 0.4% in April. The slowdown in the monthly core CPI mostly reflected a 1.7% drop in motor vehicle insurance, the largest decline since October 2020. Rents increased 0.4% after rising 0.5% in April. Rent measures were boosted by a one-time adjustment in April after last year's shutdown of the government prevented data collection. Economists expected the effects to fade in May. The dollar slipped against a basket of currencies. U.S. Treasury yields edged higher. The CPI report followed news last week that the economy posted a third successive month of above-expected job growth in May. The unemployment rate remained at 4.3% for a third consecutive month. Though financial markets have started pricing in a rate hike, economists continue to believe the bar remained high for the central bank to tighten monetary policy. The Fed is expected to leave its benchmark overnight interest rate in the 3.5 to 3.7% range at next week's meeting. 20 Years for Abuse Media by Tony Reed, Decatur. A Decatur man, whose computer files were filled with thousands of videos and images of children being raped and sexually abused, has been sent to prison for 20 years. 50-year-old Harry O. Schull took a plea deal negotiated by his defense attorney, Paul Schillegeris, and admitted one count of reproducing child pornography and one count of child pornography possession, both offenses involving kids under the age of 13. Macon County Circuit Court presiding Judge Thomas Griffith sentenced Schull to 10 years on each charge and ordered the sentences to run consecutively. The judge dismissed 8 other child pornography charges as part of the plea deal, and 2 charges of illegal possession of a rifle and a handgun found in the bedroom of Scholl's North Main Street home were dropped. A sworn affidavit, without saying how, said police had been alerted in August that Schull was downloading videos and images of child sexual abuse. An investigation was launched, and officers raided Schull's home in November, seizing computer files that held more than 3,800 videos and images showing children being sexually assaulted by adults and each other. Illinois State Police Special Agent Michael Holt, who signed the affidavit, said Scholl was questioned and confessed to his crimes. Harry admitted he has come across, viewed, and downloaded child pornography onto his computer, Holt added. Harry stated he has viewed and downloaded child pornography of victims under the age of 12 years old. Scholl, held in the Macon County Jail since his arrest November 4th, had been due to face a jury trial in February. But Scholl agreed to an open plea deal, meaning the severity of the punishment was left up to the judge. A sentencing hearing was held May 28th, and in addition to the prison time, Scholl was fined $2,000 and ordered to pay $250 to have his DNA added to a criminal database maintained by the state police. Griffith also agreed to recommend Scholl for substance abuse treatment while he is incarcerated. Crash Sends Man to Hospital by Tony Reed, Decatur. Police said a male passenger suffered life-threatening injuries after a Tuesday morning crash that shut down traffic at a busy Decatur intersection for 3 hours. Sergeant Tony Tertocha with the Decatur Police Department said the crash occurred around 7:53 a.m. at the intersection of North Main Street and Garfield Avenue. The severely injured 58-year-old Decatur man had been riding in a champagne-colored Chevrolet Equinox, which was southbound on Main Street, when it was in collision with a black Chevrolet Equinox heading west on Garfield Avenue. The passenger was unresponsive at the scene, Tertocha said. He was transported to a local hospital by ambulance with life-threatening injuries and later transferred to an area hospital for further treatment. Initial investigation indicates that the southbound traffic light was red for the southbound Equinox, Tertocha added. That vehicle was driven by a 52-year-old Decatur woman who was treated at hospital for injuries, Tertocha said, did not threaten her life. The westbound vehicle was driven by a 42-year-old woman from Decatur, and Tertocha said she appeared to have escaped injury. The crash is being investigated by the police department's Fatal Accident Investigation Team, which probes crashes with fatal or life-threatening injuries. Tertocha said traffic just to the west of Main Street, both east and westbound on Garfield Avenue, was completely closed for about 3 hours while first responders dealt with the scene and police completed their investigation. Humane Society of Decatur and Macon County. Animal advocate remembered. Peterson passes away after serving 25 years as no-kill shelter chief. By Jeanette Beckett, Decatur. Local animals and their loved ones have lost an important advocate. Irene Peterson, Humane Society of Decatur and Macon County president, passed away over the weekend. She had been the organization's president for 25 years, helping expand the facility and services. Irene's impact cannot be measured simply by buildings, programs, or accomplishments, the Humane Society posted on its Facebook page announcing Peterson's death. She dedicated countless hours to the animals who needed her most. Before her passing, Peterson had been training shelter manager Lisa Lambert and the rest of the staff and volunteers. "We're getting by," Lambert said, "but it was still unexpected." The Humane Society is a no-kill shelter located at 3373 North Woodford Street in Decatur. With Peterson at the reins, the shelter moved from a facility on North Edwards Street to Northgate Plaza until the staff and animals found their current location. The facility offers several rooms for housing, cleaning, and other animal services, as well as adoption events and fundraising activities. Peterson was able to see the expansion of the trap, neuter, and return program located next door to the current facility at 3411 North Woodford Street. The services are used to provide spay day surgeries for low-income pet owners. "This dream became a reality in January with the opening of our clinic, which has already provided services for more than 300 animals," the Humane Society stated. The Humane Society Board will begin the search for a new president. According to the staff, Peterson's responsibilities included bottle feeding puppies and kittens, trapping cats for TNR programs, coordinating volunteers, and ensuring the shelter continued its mission every day, they stated. Her compassion, determination, and unwavering love for animals touched thousands of lives. Because of Irene's tireless efforts, many thousands of animals were given a second chance and found loving homes. The Humane Society staff would appreciate notes and photos of animals who were adopted with the help of Peterson, Lambert said. In the meantime, volunteers and donations are still needed, a continuous concern for Peterson. She enjoyed the donations to the shelter to help keep us up and running, Lambert said. A wish list is posted on the Humane Society's website, but financial donations always help, Lambert added. That helps keep the building up and going and helps pay the medical bills. Peterson had a partnership with other animal agencies in the community, including the Macon County Animal Control and Care Center. Shelter manager Amanda Fisher worked closely with Peterson. She has set the bar high, she said. I am certain that the Humane Society will continue to function in the same capacity they always have. Peterson was able to help Fisher with several difficult situations. The Humane Society offered assistance with medical needs, emergency surgeries, and specialized adoptions. They have been known to pull animals into their program when they proved maybe too complex for our routine stuff here, Fisher said. Irene herself personally took a lot of those critters to her house throughout the years. According to Fisher, Peterson had a special heart in helping elderly animals. They were much harder to adopt out and much more expensive to maintain their quality of life, she said. It's certainly a loss for the animal community and our area. What's happening? Porch Pot Workshop Mini Market, June 13th. Decatur. The Staley Museum is holding a patriotic porch pot workshop and mini market fun day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday, June 13th. The mini market is free and open to the public. It will include small business vendors plus Hope and Cow Pie, two miniature therapy ponies from Winnie Knickers. Registration for the Porch Pot Workshop is required at staleymuseum.com. The museum will provide plants from Garden Path, soil, and patriotic accessories for each design, making them perfect for 4th of July celebrations and the 250th birthday of the USA. Macon County Extension Service Master Gardeners will be on site to help and instruct care for the plants so they bloom all summer long. The Staley Museum is located at 361 North College Street, Decatur. Social project to help people connect, Decatur. The Social Project, a free community event designed to help people connect, is coming to the Decatur Civic Center on Thursday, June 11th. The event is designed to make meeting people easier, more comfortable, and actually fun. Attendees can enjoy food, drinks, prizes, and sign up for dozens of free small group hangouts and experiences built around shared interests. This event, which is open to the public, runs from 3 to 7 p.m. In 1990, one-third of adults had 10 or more close friends. Today, that number has dropped dramatically as Americans spend more time online and less time together in person. Studies continue to show that reduced social connection contributes to increased anxiety, depression, stress, sleep issues, and overall declines in mental well-being. The Social Project was created to help change that by giving people a simple, welcoming way to reconnect with others in the community. During the event, attendees can sign up for a variety of free experiences. Whether you're an introvert, extrovert, or simply looking to meet new people. The social project makes it easy to start connecting, said Tim Mackin. Come out, have fun, and find your people. For more information, find The Social Project on Facebook. Conservation District event to talk flies, Decatur. The Macon County Conservation District is hosting What Flies at Night, Discovering Moths with Kevin Weiner on Friday, June 12th. Kevin Weiner is an arthropod educator, professional photographer, and creator of the website and Facebook group All Bugs Go to Kevin. Kevin brings his expertise and lighting setups to reveal the stunning beauty of the insects that rule the dark. Bring a flashlight and prepare for an interactive, educational, and glowing experience for all ages. This program for all ages runs from 8 to 10:30 p.m. The cost is $5, and an online registration is required at maconccd.org. DMH to host trauma-informed care training, Decatur. Free training on trauma-informed care is available for people who work in community-based organizations, healthcare, or education settings, or who work closely with people in vulnerable populations. In partnership with Heritage Behavioral Health Center, the training will be offered in person from 10 a.m. to noon Monday, June 15th, at Decatur Memorial Hospital in Classroom A. Attendees will learn about trauma's complex impact, creative and compassionate responses, and the importance of caring for self. Continuing education credits are available. The goal behind this training is to decrease the stigma around those seeking care for mental wellness, said Sonia Chargoy, a community health consultant at Memorial Health. Participants will learn practical tools for how to approach their work in a trauma-informed way and increase client engagement, outcomes, and community wellness. Two virtual sessions will be available on June 16th and August 11th. For more about the trainings, email chargois.sonja@mhsil.com or register online. We'll take a break now and return with the second half of the Herald and Review dated Thursday, June 11th, 2026. Please stay tuned.